Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
All right, we're going to continue in So Walk in Him. You believe God with me here for the right words. This is going to be, you want to have your notepad, you want to have your, or you want to go back and listen. I don't know that I'll go through all these scriptures because it's a lot. It's 140. And I mean, not tonight, but I mean, just over the course of the days. Okay. I don't know that I'll go through all of them because it is about 140 of them. And what you'll notice is as you're going through those scriptures and things, you will notice that, some of them have the phrase in him or in whom or by whom or through whom. Or through him, and they don't necessarily tell you anything that you have, like in Christ. Like Paul will say, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that doesn't mean you get greetings in Christ, you know what I mean, when you get born again. It's just a greeting. So there are some things but they're few and far between. Those verses are not that, you know, they're not that, that many of them. But there are about 140 verses. The other thing I was going to tell you was this, is that all those verses that are listed for the PDF file that's on the website for you to look those up, they're all according to the King James Version of the Bible. Okay, so if you have a different version, you may look it up and go, it doesn't say in Christ, because different versions will change those words. So what I do is, now I would recommend this to anybody if you've been saved for a while and you've had the same Bible for a while, I have a parallel translation. So down one side is King James, down the other is Amplified. Same verses. And that'll help you because the Amplified is the woman's Bible. Say, so what does that mean? It has more words. It has twice as many words. So it expounds, you know. While it talks, it uses its hands. You know? Stuff like that. Yeah. Yep. It is helpful because you can read things in the New King James or the King James, and depending on what you have. And sometimes people get hung up on this. There are things in the King James Bible that are not translated the best, and there's things in all of them that are not translated the best, you know. Like I heard Tim Hawkins say, the theologian comedian, you know, he read The Message, which is a paraphrase, not a translation, and he says, what is this in here, a recipe for Rice Krispie treats, you know? In other words, it's really light, okay? It's not heavy at all, you know? As you're reading through them, I have the Mirror Bible, okay? And there are things he says in here, and I'm like, I do not know if I agree with that. And so what I do is, I don't just read this. I use this as an extra with the New King James. And people will argue you on that. I'm not going to split hairs on it. I know that when I took the History of the Bible class, the King James Version of the Bible was pretty solid. And some of the newer versions pull stuff out. You don't even realize it's not there, but if you read your footnotes and you follow your notations in your Bible, down at the bottom it will include another passage. I'll give you an example of one. Let's go to Romans 8 real quick. And this isn't in here, but this is just a good idea. Just stuff that you can know. Because, you know, there's all sorts of things that you don't realize. A lot of times in the newer translations, what is not in what they consider in a bunch of the originals is usually in italics. So you'll be reading along, all of a sudden it'll go to italics. You're like, why is that like that? And then if you look, there's a notation, and it'll say not in the original whatever texts, okay? Which can get... That stuff can get a little, it gets annoying, to be honest with you, you know, because the spirit of what's being said can still be in it. But I believe it's Romans 8:1. Yeah, It says this. It says, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then it says, who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Did you know that that phrase was not in the original? Okay? So people say, well, why is it there? Read the fourth verse. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk what? Not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They just added it. They just took it from verse 4 and in context popped it up there because it fits in the fullness of what's being said. Does that make sense? There are preachers that say, well, that isn't in the original. So, you know, they want to say, so you can't say that if you walk in the flesh, then you should be under condemnation. But I'll just tell you this, if you walk in your flesh and not in your spirit, you're going to have condemnation because your own heart will condemn you. It isn't even the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit does not condemn you? He convicts. It's two different words. And you got to watch it because people, Christians will get under like constantly feeling like they're in sin. And God is not beating you over the head over every little detail that you miss. Okay? So people say, well, why do I feel condemned then? It's your own heart. Because your heart is right with God. So when you do something you shouldn't, you go, oh, that wasn't right. And what that's designed to do is go, wait a minute, let's change how we did that. And so that's why that's that way. Now, I can't get into that. I got to get to where I'm supposed to go here. Okay, so let's do this. Why don't we go over to Romans chapter 3. And I'll read what I wrote here. So far, we have looked at several truths concerning the subject of who we are in Christ. We have looked at what it means to be born again, that this is a spiritual change, not a mental change. Okay. Second, we looked through the scriptures that tell us what we're supposed to do with our minds. Our minds, our imaginations, are wonderful, powerful creations. And for them to function as they should, they need to be transformed by the Word of God and then maintained by the Word of God. So you need to do both. Finally, in the first, let's see, where am I at here? And then maintained by the Word of God. Finally, in the first four messages, we looked at what we are supposed to do with our bodies. So in that, in this last couple of messages, we talked about our body. In our body, we see the miraculous creation of God. We have been given a tremendous blessing in our bodies, and it is imperative that we keep their functions within the boundaries of the Scriptures. Our bodies are to be used as tools or weapons of righteousness. So, now, as we move into this, okay, I have to give this warning. One, the devil hates this message. Because, I mean, if the enemy can't keep you from being born again, it's his second goal is for you to not realize what happened when you got born again. Because it messes with him because of what the authority that Christ gave you. And what he did in dying on your behalf and giving you. It ruins his day. It's not that he can't do things, it's that you now have authority over him. And when, you know, there are a lot of Christians, just by the fact of you being saved, being born again, having Christ in your heart, you have authority over the enemy. But I'll just tell you this, a person who doesn't realize who they are in Christ can look and live just like the world and still go to heaven. You say, why is that? Because they don't have their mind, they don't know mentally, are not renewed to their heart. And when that doesn't take place, you don't know any better because you've been programmed one way for however many years. You've been trained to think one way for however many years. You've been trained to think, well, if they're mean to me, I'm mean to them. But if you listen to your heart, the love of God will constrain you and say, no, you do good to those who hate you. You do good and you bless those who persecute you. And if you want to release the spiritual authority that you have inside you, you have to have your mind renewed to that scripture and then act on it. And as you do in the spirit, God then is able to move on your behalf. And people go, why doesn't God just do it? Because faith pleases God. He wants you to do it. Because then you learn something. He's pleased, and he still gets to do what he wants to do. He gave you all the ability to be able to do it. Does that make sense? To be able to walk in it, we just need to walk in those truths. And so we talked about, you got to watch this, because what we're going to do is I'm going to start reading scriptures about who you are in Christ, and your head's going to go, that is not me, that is not me, that is not me. You say, how do you know that? Because I study them for hours and my head tries to do it. You have to fight through. Does that make sense? How many, I have an acquaintance, I wouldn't call him a friend. I mean, he's a friend, but it's loose, you know what I mean? We just know each other. And he was going to school, I don't know if he is anymore, to be an engineer, I think, or something like that. Andrew Ackerstrom. And I was talking to him one day, and we worked construction together, and he was talking about his classes. And these classes are like intense mathematical equations. I mean, he's showing me stuff, and I'm going, okay. Math is numbers, not letters. I learned the alphabet was letters. Numbers is, okay. So we kept those separate, you know. And when they started combining them, I did not do well. So anyway, probably because I was mostly uninterested. But anyway, so he was telling me about this, and he was telling me that they talk about this this process that happens in a person where they have what they call mental breakthroughs. And they liken it to coming out of darkness into light, is what they talk about. In other words, you look at a problem, study, and you're not getting anywhere, but you just keep at that one thing, and then all of a sudden, boom, everything breaks through. Now, they've proven some of this now with the science and different things with the brain that they know that can happen. And he talked about how you're super frustrated in these classes, but then you break through and all of a sudden you see it and you understand it and you go, oh, there it is right there. And that is exactly what this is like. But you have to have a mentality of, I'm going to stick with this. I'm not going to give up on it, because you're going to read these things, and this is what God says about you. You know, the scripture says in Isaiah 53, the prophet said, who has believed our report? You know, that statement's a lot deeper than people realize. It's not just like a general who. It's like, who has the guts to believe how good God is? Does that make sense? Because if we really realized, and this starts dawning on you how good God is, your faith will go from whoo to whoo. You'll look at situations and things that look impossible to other people. They'll look at it and go, like, I've been dealing with this with, because I have my dad's funeral this weekend. And my family, you know, I have I have an older brother and a younger brother, and then a younger sister. And me and my sister in the middle, we're the middle kids, so we're normal. The oldest and the youngest, I don't know what happened to them. They are messed up, man. But anyway, so we tease each other all the time. Yeah, we love each other. It's just, you know, but anyway, so they're all, you know, having conversations with each other, and, you know, my mom, and, you know, we're having these conversations, and, you know, with our family, you know, with Heidi and the kids and stuff, we've had discussions, you know, about, I mean, we had a whole, I'll tell you this, maybe I won't. I better not. It's too soon. I'll save it for a few years later. Yeah, tell you in your ear first. I'll just leave the mic on. But anyway, it's funny to me, but you might not find it funny, so I better wait. But anyway, so we're having these discussions and with the kids and stuff, and, you know, we're all crying together, and, you know, you're going through this grieving process, you know? And I think sometimes people wonder, I know my own family sometimes wonders about me, because they're like, you're not crying. Well, you don't know that. You only see me here. You know what I mean? I've had lots of moments of crying, you know? I mean, I had to do the bulletin and the obituary and all that stuff, and you're picking out, you know, you're going through pictures, and all these memories are coming back to you, you know what I mean? So, but anyway, I think sometimes people think, they don't realize the strength that's available in the scripture. You know, because I've had people tell me, you know, share with me ways that they're going to deal with the loss of my dad, which I don't even like that phrase, because I didn't lose him. Now, I understand why people say it, so I'm not going to sit there and correct everybody's English on that. So don't, if you say it in front of me, don't feel like you have to, oh, I got to correct what I said. You know what I mean? Don't bother. I'm not going to even think about it, okay? I understand it. I understand why. But I didn't lose him. I know exactly where he's at. And I had somebody tell me, you know, they were talking about a situation and they had had an argument with somebody that had gone on, and that was almost their, you know, the last conversation on earth. And this person made the statement, you know, what? That's quite a last conversation. I looked at him and I said, that's not their last conversation. Because you're going where they're going, where they are. You know, people are like, oh, this is my last fishing trip. No, it isn't. I mean, you got to realize that. It's not the last anything. It's the last maybe here. Yeah, I mean, it's the last maybe here, but who cares? Yeah, there's no lying in heaven about how big the fish is. Shane. Josh, I know. Hunting and fishing. It was this big, and Jesus walks up, and you're like, oh, it was this big. So, but anyway, it's not the last anything, you know? So what happens is when you realize, my point in this is when you start to, when this starts to dawn on your mind, what's taking place in your spirit, your faith level goes to another level, and your expectation, problems start to diminish. Now listen to me. When you're reading and studying and you are fellowshipping with God and you find problems start shrinking, you're going in the right direction. Okay? If you are in situations and your problems look like these huge things that are insurmountable and you're in a place of begging God to get you out, you need to feed more and get yourself stronger in the Word. You need to have that fellowship with the Lord greater and greater, because what happens is, you know, we just talked about this a couple Sundays ago, but David and Goliath. To the rest of the Israelites, Goliath was this giant army destroying machine by himself. To David, he was a dude without a covenant. He didn't know God. So if your perspective changes, you'll grab a lion by the beard and pull the lamb out of its mouth and then kill the lion. Your perspective just has to change. And people think, well, no, you probably shouldn't. Listen, supernatural faith things and supernatural things are irrational. They are not rational. They are not mentally rational. You cannot, I know this happens a lot in with Christians. They will talk about using wisdom a lot. Using wisdom. Use it. We get, you know, you got to use wisdom. Well, which wisdom? Let me ask you something. If I'm walking on the water and it's storming and you're in the boat and you say to me, Sean, is that you? If it is, bid me come. Is it rational for me to say to you, come? Why didn't Jesus stop and say, Peter, now use wisdom? You know what I mean? Okay, so the best wisdom you can use is be led by the Holy Spirit. It's the best wisdom in the world. It's the best, and that does not always equate to common sense. God's calculator, he goes, okay, God's calculator, we heard it from Josh on Sunday. God's calculator is pass. Just pass. Yeah, but I have seniority. I'll go to the end. Yeah, pass. That's my logic. That's God's. God's like, I can see the end. I can see the end from the beginning. I know. Do you see what I'm saying? So there's that. You got to watch that, because it just is, you got to be aware of it, because the Lord may tell you to do something. And you may go, oh, really? And your heart will say, yes, that's right. And your head will go, no, that's wrong. And so you got to watch that. You say, what does that have to do with the message tonight? Everything, because I'm going to read things to you and you're going to go, I'm not that. And the Lord's saying, you are that. And you better make sure you agree with him. Amen. It's amazing to me, even in myself, and I find it to be somewhat that way, but with believers, it's amazing to me how they do not want to believe what God says about them. They don't. You want to know why? Because it seems too good to be true. And the truth of the matter is, if it's not above and beyond all you could ask or think, then it isn't God. So what I've learned to do is, and this is part of submission, Lord, you said so, therefore it is. And that can be tough because pride is a creeper, man. It's a stinker. Have you ever noticed? You know, people are like, I've overcome pride in every area of my life. Yep, still got some areas to work on. So let's go to Romans 3, and we'll believe God. I'm believing God for ways to say it that you'll get it. You know, I can only read over the scripture so many times, and then I got to, okay, God, I got the Greek on every word. The means the. You know, do you see what I'm saying? So that's why we talked about, you want to underline these scriptures or highlight them if you can. Take time and write them down. Meditate on it. Make a confession of it. And then begin to say it with your mouth. In other words, begin to declare those things. All right, Romans 3:24. So we're going to go into the in Christ scriptures first. And I have 10 pages of them. But there's only about 7 or 8 of them because all the commentary on them. But we probably won't get through them all, but that's okay. You'll start to see it. Romans 3:24 says being. Now, this is the King James Version, okay? So whatever version you have, you're just going to have to deal with me. But being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is what? In Christ Jesus. Okay, you ready? Justified means to render righteous. It means to declare or pronounce one to be just. I like this. This is another definition of it. Such as he ought to be. I love that phrase. I read that and I'm like, ooh, look at that. Now let me put this in context for you here. You are in Christ justified. You are as you ought to be. Okay? These truths will make your salvation more exciting than you've ever known. It's like you get born again. You know, because this goes into the core of who you are. Now, if you understand Christianity from this standpoint, the trying to work to do things will go, or to earn things will just go right out the door. You say, what's the importance of this? Now, keep this in mind. This is you, spirit. Your mind has to be renewed. Your body has to be controlled. Okay? So your mind may not see you like this. But what is this Bible also called? A mirror. Right? And what do you do in a mirror? You look and you go, oh, I got a bat in a cave. Is that what we call them? I got a hair out of place. You know what I mean? I don't know what girls do. You know, who knows? I got, my wife does this to me. We eat lettuce or something. She goes, I don't know. Where were we eating the other day and I had a big chunk of something in my mouth? It was a bunch of people and you said it and then the person sitting next to me said it too. And I was like, let's just see if people notice. You know, because that's how I think. I think, let's just go talk to people and they're like, oh. You know, but they're too embarrassed to tell you. And so I'm just like, I know it's there and just let her ride, you know. See what people do. That is how you turn an embarrassing situation around and you now control it. You totally control it. You own it. How did we get off on that? Okay, so it's a mirror. That's how. It's a mirror. So you being declared or being justified means you are pronounced or declared and you have been made right as you ought to be. So, let me put it to you like this. Adam made us as we shouldn't be. Jesus made us as we should be. Okay? Now, listen to me. I want you to hear this carefully because you need to understand this. You'll hear the world say statements like, we're all children of God. And that's not true. We are all the creation of God. But you cannot be a child of God unless you're born into the family or born again. Does that make sense? So you have to receive him as your father. Now, he is the creator. Satan is not creating people. He doesn't know how to create anything. All he knows how to do is twist and distort what God creates. Okay? So in our world, yes, by nature, by creation, we are all from God. That's why it is in, the Bible says eternity is in the heart of man. Do you know even an atheist, a devout atheist, because I've talked to some awesome atheists. I mean, you say, what do you mean by that? They actually studied and we had great arguments. I mean, it was awesome. You know what I mean? I like to get into that stuff. I just do because it's fun. And I like to challenge it because they're so bullheaded in what they believe and they're not afraid to talk about it. Well, I'm not either. And so it gives me opportunity to really test myself as well. So I've had a lot of good ones, good discussions. But even when it comes down to it, the atheist believes, has a belief system. It's just called evolution. And it's by faith. You say, why is that? Because there's no evidence at all. And people say, no, there's evidence. We see it in the hummingbirds. Yeah, they use that lie all the time, but that's microevolution. That's not macroevolution. There's a difference. You know there are like 6 or 7 different evolution terms for evolution? Different levels? Do you know that some of the leading evolutionists, I know I was reading an article on this a few years back, in our culture that are over the education programs for the public schools said there's not enough evidence for macroevolution to fill one human coffin. None. There's none. There's no evidence. It falls apart. You'll hear about they found the missing link. Have you ever noticed that? Do you ever hear any more about it? You want to know why? Because the scientists get a hold of it and go, no, it's not the missing link. They found the missing link 1 year and it was pig's teeth. So, but they thought they found it. They got it, you know. Or they find these different, you know, frozen Lucy or whatever the frozen, you know, all that stuff. But they never turn out to be anything. They're not. So anyway, everything, eternity is in the heart of man. You are man by himself. Even if an atheist says to you, I don't believe in God, his heart is going, I want to go back to where I was made. Can't help it. You can't help it. It's a part of you. God made you. And so then you choose to have him as your father. He already chose you. It's all on us if we choose him. Okay? Now, for Christians, it is a vital truth that you understand that God chose you because that increases your faith even more. So we see here that you are justified freely. Don't you love that word? By his grace. That means you cannot earn it. You cannot deserve it. He just decided out of his nature, yep, love them. Gonna love them no matter what they do. Okay, it's by grace. And then he says, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So you are as you ought to be in Christ. So when people ask you how you're doing, you should just say, I'm as I ought to be in Christ. I'm righteous in him. Now, some religious people, that will make the hair on the back of their neck stand up. You know what I mean? They'll think, well, who do you think you are? And you, by the time we're done with this lesson, you'll just be able to go, how much time do you have? And I will take you through the scriptures. Not my opinion, not the pastor said, the scriptures. Okay? So he says here that you are redeemed. The word redeem means to redeem one by paying the price. I love this. It means to let one go free on receiving the price. A releasing effected by payment of ransom. So your ransom, your redemption, your pay for your life was in Christ Jesus. So you don't pay. He paid. Isn't that nice? That's love if I've ever seen it. So you are let go. You are free. See, people will already struggle with this. They think, well, I'm not free. No, no, you are free. In Christ, you are free. Now, if you want to experience more of that, you've got to renew your mind to it and then let your mouth agree with what God said about you. And as you do, you'll relax. You'll relax. You'll learn. See, because sin mentality will cause you to hide. But a righteousness mentality will what? God won't come down in the cool of the day and go, Mike, where's Mike? He won't do that. Because righteousness mentality goes, it's almost time. He's coming. And you go and you meet. Does that make sense? So sin, a sin mentality, wickedness in your own mind will cause you to hide from God because you'll think he's mad at you, that he's looking to beat you. He's not. He's not. He's not. The Bible says Jesus satisfied his wrath. As long as you are in that place in Christ, and you are, then he's satisfied. That doesn't mean he's not going to tell you you need to adjust things. But just like with your family, when you were raising your kids as parents, you looked at your kids and go, you know, McFarlane's don't act that way. Or in some cases, McFarlane's used to act that way, but we don't anymore. Okay? We don't act like that anymore. Does that make sense? So I made this confession out of this. I said, by grace through the redeeming action of Jesus Christ, I am now justified before God. In Christ, I am made righteous before God. In Christ, I am as I ought to be in my relationship with God. Christ paid the price that I owed so that I could enjoy proper relationship with God again. My penalty for sin was paid in full by Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Why? I am counting on him. I have no other hope. People say, well, this is what Paul fought with the Jews. Like, you have to do good works. Well, you do good works because you is good, not because you need to earn it. I had a Mormon tell me one time we were working together, and it shocked me how well ingrained he was in this. And we were talking about that, and they know some lingo. Because some of the stuff that he said on the grace of God wouldn't have differed much from what I knew. Or from what I believed. But then he told me about how he served in these different areas in the Mormon temple and stuff like that. And he showed me his card. You know, he had to have some sort of card to get in. And he showed me that stuff and I said, oh, you go serve there? And he goes, yeah, once a month. I don't want to go to hell. That's not how you stay out of hell. That's not. Now, there's a lot of physical discipline there. And Paul talks about these things. And they do have some benefit. There's some benefit to just living and not being an alcoholic. Right? I mean, most people who are not alcoholics, I mean, the ratio of cirrhosis of the liver among non-drinkers is very low. Okay? Very low. Very low. All right? Why? Because they're not doing anything to hurt their physical body. So there's some benefit to those things, but that's not spiritual. That's physical. Spiritual things only work as spiritual. And in Christ, you are righteous. You are justified. You are as you ought to be. Now, as that begins to dawn on you, and you got to stay after it, you'll relax more. Your blood pressure will go down. Your blood pressure will go down. You won't stress. Why? I'm as I ought to be. Well, what if this doesn't happen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things shall be added unto you. You see what I'm saying? You relax, your faith level will go up, and everything else will relax. So some other translations of this, the Passion Translation says this, yet through his powerful declaration of acquittal, I love this, God freely gives away his righteousness. He freely gives it away. He does not make you earn it. It is free. All you do is receive. That does not, you know, I don't know if I would set up the system that way. Okay, does that make sense? But God did. So it's free. And then he says, his gift of love and favor now cascades over us, all because Jesus, the anointed one, has liberated us from the guilt punishment, and power of sin. What did Jesus take for you? Your stripes, your beating, your crown of thorns, you being spit in the face, the ripping out of your beard, men. Your cross time, come on. Your time in that you deserved to be separated from God, he took it. Why? So you could have complete union with God uninterrupted. That's awesome. You can go to the throne room of God. You don't even need a priest. You don't even need me. You have the high priest, Jesus Christ, and his blood. And all you have to do is walk into the throne room and go, Lord. And he'll say, yes. My son, my daughter is here. What do you need? And people go, well, he could talk to everybody all at once. Yeah, he's God. You talk about multitasking. We cannot do that. I've seen some women try on the way to work. I saw one lady putting her makeup on, had her cell phone going, and was driving. And I'm going, slow down, back away, back away. People are going, why is that guy backing up? You know, and she's doing it all. No thanks. In the Living Bible, it says this, yet now God declares us not guilty, of offending him if we trust in Jesus Christ, who in his kindness freely takes away our sins. The Young's literal translation says, being declared righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Here's another in Christ. Romans chapter 8, and we looked at it earlier, but we can look at it again. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Condemnation is a damnatory sentence. That's what it is. That's not a cuss word. It's a damnatory sentence. There is no damnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no purgatory. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't have to sit in a waiting, in a holding pattern between heaven and earth so that you can finish up and pay off the rest of the things you didn't do right, or you need to do more right things. So, come on. None of that. How can you do any more right than Jesus? Think about his life. He was a substitution for you. The Bible says that even in his earth walk, he was demonstrating, but he was doing it on your behalf. People sometimes get, you know, that's like, what do you mean? He lived his life. He didn't have to come here and live. Jesus did not need to prove his purity. He needed to declare your innocence. He was pure from the beginning. He had nothing. So every miracle, every sign, every wonder, he did as a man anointed by God, right? He did with that union, okay? He did it as that union. So after Jesus left, what union took place again? Man and God. Why? Because God couldn't fellowship with flesh. So what did God do? He put flesh on, so that you and him could be one again. That's how you become. It's just like your natural kids. They are of your flesh. People don't look at my kids and go, those are not your kids. They're obviously my kids. I mean, between me and Heidi, you understand what I'm saying? It's obvious that's the case. I do not look at the Hill Boys and go, those are not Hills. They're not. The other day we were looking through photos and we found a picture of Caleb, Levi, and Kylie together when they were younger than Aiden's age. And yeah, like three. Yeah. Aiden's how old now? Six. Yeah. So, and you want to see the spitting image of Aiden? Look at Caleb when he was three. I mean, I'm looking at the picture going, yep, that's Aiden. You know, and I'm sure we could dig pictures up of Mike and Jody when they were kids and go, yep, there's Aiden. You know what I mean? Why? Because so what God did is he put skin on so that we could have that connection again. And you know the interesting, this is powerful. I heard Kenneth Copeland say this. I thought, man, this is amazing. Jesus still has flesh. He is forever our mediator. We were watching the Bible story the other day. That one that was on TV, which is not super accurate, by the way, but it is cool to watch. And it has Hollywood license for whatever. But after the resurrection, Jesus keeps appearing to all the apostles, you know, the disciples, the apostles. And Ian keeps going, look at those hands. Look at the hole in his hands. I mean, he could not get over the fact that light was coming through the guy's hand, you know. But it's still that way till today. It's still that way till the holes are still there. The hole in his side is still there. Why? It is a marker. Now, there's scriptures in the Old Testament that talk about how God engraved us in his hand. And it's before you understood who Jesus was. It's in Isaiah, but it's amazing. And they're forever there. Why? Markers. God's love will never be in question. Never. So he declares us condemnation free. I love that. In Christ, there is no condemnation. Now, one of the confessions, I wrote a confession. It just says, in Christ Jesus, I am free from condemnation. Christ took my condemnation so that I would not have to. So I don't allow myself to live under condemnation. Okay? If you do, it'll hinder your faith. It'll hinder you. It'll slow you down. And the enemy will have a foothold in your life. So you got to stop that. The Bible in basic English says this, for this cause, those who are in Christ Jesus will not be judged as sinners. Thank God. God's Word translation says this, so those who are believers in Christ Jesus can no longer be condemned. Thank you, Lord. There is no condemnation. The Good News translation, there is no condemnation now for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. The Passion translation says this, so now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. I am not just by myself. I am in life union with the Anointed One. You know what Christ means? It means the Anointed One and His anointing. That's what the word Christ means. It's not Jesus' last name. All right? It's not. You know, people are like, sign your name, Jesus Christ. No. Jesus was as common as Bob in that day. But Christ means the Anointed One and His anointing. So you are in who? You are the Anointed One and His anointing is in you. Now, when this begins to dawn on you, you'll look at problems again and go, peace, be still. That's what Jesus, if you look at the way Jesus talked to his disciples, it was not constantly, hey, boys, aren't I amazing? It was, I'm telling you and I'm showing you how you're supposed to live after my death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? And people will say, well, you know, people think they can control the weather. I'm not saying you can design the weather system around you at all times. Jesus did not just go around going, I want it 72. I want it 72. I want it 72. That's not that. People get messed up on this, okay? Jesus dealt with the weather when what? It was going to destroy the people. Does that make sense? So there are things that you can declare, that you can pray about, that you can speak to the weather. If it's going to cause massive, God is not into 125 car pileups on the highway. That is not God. Does that make sense? He doesn't want anything to do with that. Okay? And so your authority has boundaries in your life, but the authority is there, and you're to walk as Jesus walked. He walked as an example to us in the sense of we can do the things that he told us we can do. So the Mirror Bible says this, now The decisive conclusion is this: in Christ, every bit of condemning evidence against us is canceled. That'll make you relax. You know, you're not going to court trying to figure out how to prove your innocence. You just, they'll bring a bunch of evidence against you because the enemy is the accuser of the brethren, and then the Lord will say, plead the blood. Just plead the blood. And you said, I plead the blood. I am not standing on the basis of my merits right now. I'm standing on the basis of Jesus' work on the cross. And the devil will go, oh man, I never win a case. And you know, we're in a good position. Our lawyer is the Son of God. The judge is God. We're in a good place. All right? We're in a good place. We need to get, the Bible actually says that when Christ returns, that those who know who they are in Him will run out boldly to meet Him. Those who do not know Him and did not receive Him want rocks to fall on them and kill them. Isn't that interesting? That's just, I mean, to me, that's just like, wow. That is a stark difference. But we know who we are in Christ. So we know we are free. And we've been set free. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 2. Next verse down. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The word free means to set at liberty. So in Christ, I have been liberated or set free from the dominion of sin. Sin no longer has dominion over me. It no longer dominates my life in any way. I no longer must live in bondage to sin in my soul or my body because I am in Christ. This is a spirit reality that you're renewing your mind to. You're not trying to earn these things. They are already in you. Christ is already in you. The reality of these truths is already in you. What was written down was a revelation given to Paul, and it was given to Paul so that you could understand it and walk in it. It was not given to Paul so you could be impressed by Paul. Anybody that, and sometimes I listen to ministers and I listen to different like theologians I've done before or Bible school teachers and stuff, and even teachers at our own school, which I understand you should be honoring to an office and stuff like that. But Paul did not look at his position of authority and the anointing that he had upon his life as a stature piece for himself. Does that make sense? Now, people will honor the man of God. Why is that? Well, because God tells you to in the Word. But Paul did not look at his anointing. He didn't look at people and go, don't you know who I am? If you run into ministers like that, you got to be careful. You might want to step back just a few spots. You say, why? Because this, God doesn't anoint me so that you'll be impressed with me. He anoints me so that you will grow and discover who you are in Christ. And when that is in proper perspective, the level of anointing that can come and the level of truth that can be given, the more it's respected, can go up, 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 up. And that's the goal. So why? Because, I don't know, sometimes I'll be talking in services and stuff and I'll be learning. That's an interesting experience, just so you know. Because it's like you're in a river and you're just there moving with the Spirit of God, and I'm just like out ahead of you a little ways and seeing it. Some of you probably seeing it in your seat. And I'll see it go, oh! And then it looks like I discovered it or something. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, I just was in the tube and that's the direction we were going. You know? I jumped in the tube first. So we are what? We are liberated from the law of sin and death. Sin and death no longer has control over me. Now, that is a great confession. I am, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. Not will set me free, has set me free from the law of sin and death. Which means what? I don't have to be hung up by that whatever anymore. Whatever it is that is outside the character of God. It's outside of your character. Amen? So in the Passion Translation, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life, flowing through the anointing of Jesus, has liberated us from the law of sin and death." The Mirror Bible says, "The law of the Spirit is the liberating force of life in Christ." I love that. The law of the Spirit is the liberating force of life in Christ. This leaves me with no further obligation to the law of sin and death. I have no obligation to the law of sin and death. Spirit has superseded the sin-enslaved senses as the principal law of my life. Spirit has superseded the sin-enslaved senses as the principal law of our lives. In Christ, you're free from the law of sin and death. Now, when you meditate that, think about that, declare that, and then begin to renew your mind to it and live it out, those things that have held you up for years will just begin to fall off. And the truth is, you've been delivered all along. You just didn't even realize it. Do you know, in all actuality, for every bondage, there's a key. For every chain, for every lock, there's a key to unlock it. And in the Spirit, it's the same way. For every bondage, for everything that's ever been in your life, there is a freedom for it in Jesus, in Christ. There is. But the difference between people that enjoy it and don't are the ones who grab on like the pit bull and lockjaw and don't let go. If you're gonna see the fullness of these things in your life, you gotta adjust and work your whole life around them. You know what I mean? Sometimes people think, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay, that means I go to church on Sunday and then on Wednesday. I wish it was that simple. I mean, your flesh does. Ultimately, to be completely given over to the Lord, I'll put it to you like this. And we're growing into this, okay? So don't get afraid. Jesus never had a plan for his day. Now, we know Jesus slept. We know he got tired, and we know he got hungry. That proves he was man right there. But we know that he slept. But when he got up in the morning, he just checked in with heaven. What are we doing today? And people say, well, I got to go to work. God understands that you have to go to work. But what are you going to do for him at work? Or do you just think about God, you know, right before the parking lot? It's a stinger, isn't it? It's like, zzz. Or do you wake up in the morning and go, hey, Jesus, what are we doing today? I give you myself, Romans 12:1. This body is yours. Do what you want. You see that? Okay. So that's what it means to give your life to him. So Romans 12:5, one more. We'll stop here. So we got through what, four? No, you know. We got down to page four. Out of 10, that's not bad. I'm ready for next week. I'll add another whatever to it, I'm sure. I'll preach it somewhere else someday. Romans 12:5. So we, being many, are what? One body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. In Christ, I am a member of the whole body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the body of Christ, which is made up of all true believers. I love my body, talking about my physical body. I don't want to hurt it. In the same way, I love the body of Christ since I am a member of it. So in other words, you don't want to hurt your neighbor who's a Christian. Why? Because they're part of you. If you hurt them, you hurt you. Does that make sense? With this in mind, I will walk in love with the body of Christ because I do not want to hurt them. Because we are one in Christ Jesus. Other translations of Romans 12:5 say, and so it is in the body of Christ. For though we are many, we've all mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we are vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the others. The Mirror Bible says, in Christ, the many individuals are all part of the same body and members of one another. Let's do one more. 1 Corinthians 1:2. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." That's 1 Corinthians 1:2. The word sanctified means to render or declare sacred, holy, or consecrated, to render or acknowledge to be venerable, to hallow, to separate from things profane and dedicate to God, to consecrate. So in Christ, I have been made holy. You know, people talk about, I got to live holy. If you understand who you are in Christ, you will live holy. You will. Because you won't live according to a false nature. If you see yourself wrong, you'll live wrong. It's just the nature of it. That's why Jesus gave that whole chapter on guarding the eye. And talking about light coming in the eye, if light is coming into the eye, your whole body is full of light. But if the light or the what's coming into your eye is darkness, then what happens? You're full of darkness. It's the nature of it. You can't stop it. But what people sometimes confuse is they confuse their soul, their mind, with their heart. Like I will have people that till this day, they will quote to me, the heart is wicked above all else. They'll quote the scripture to me in the Old Testament talking about the heart being wicked. Okay, I don't mind you quoting that scripture, but let's keep it in context of covenants. Let's keep it in context of what's being said. If 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, all old things have passed away and all things have become new, and all things, verse 18, are of God, how much wickedness can you have in your heart? You think God's hanging out there with the devil? It's like a big apartment complex. There's a, you know, couch, big long couch, and God and some angels are sitting on one side. Satan and some demons are sitting on the other, and there's this clash going on. The battle is not in your spirit. It's in your mind. Where did Paul put the battle over and over? In the mind. You have to see yourself. That's why I was saying this at the beginning when we talked about this. A Christian who is born again has the life-giving nature, the resurrection power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in that believer, can lock up that power with an unrenewed mind and an out-of-control flesh. If you walk around and don't declare who God says you are, you will frustrate the grace of God in you. You have all the ability in you needed to overcome the enemy already. But if your mind is not geared to your heart, the flow gets jammed. Does that make sense? And you don't end up functioning in the full ability of what God has given you. Most Christians, honestly, they don't need more prayer. They just need to believe what God said about them. They actually just need to be taught what God says about them. So you're going to have to grab hold of those and stay after it and stay after it and stay after it and stay after it. And it'll begin to dawn on your heart and you'll begin to see change and people will notice it. People will notice it. That's what's supposed to happen. You're supposed to affect your atmosphere because of who's in you, because of your new nature. You've been intertwined with God. Does that make sense? And so you're going to have to fight for it if you want it. Now, here's the thing. This is where this sometimes people get confused. You're going to have to fight the fight of faith for the manifestation of what you already possess in Christ. I know I said a lot, right? You say, well, how did you learn to understand it that way? I got after it and after it. Well, you're the preacher. You're paid to do. No, it has nothing to do with being the preacher. I wasn't paid when I learned this. I was paying. Come on. Okay. Well, you went to Bible college and that's your job. You're supposed to know it. Yes, but I can teach you it, but I can't live your Christian life for you. I want you to succeed on that level. I want you to have it. You are going to have to believe what God has made you. He has made you condemnation free. He has justified you. You are as you ought to be right now. Nothing needs to change for you to go into the throne room of God. Because Jesus did it for you. Now, if your mind automatically switches to, well, I got to fix this, and I got to fix that, and I got to fix this, then you know you have some religious brainwashing to get out of your head, and you need some New Testament water. You know what I mean? You just dump it straight in the brain. The washing of the water of the Word. And when your head fights you, agree with your heart. Just say, I don't care what you think. I don't care what thoughts are going through my mind. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. And you're going, run them over. Just run them over. You go, no, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. They deserve it. You go, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to let my flesh and evil thoughts control me because that's not who I am. I'm born again. And Jesus would lay his life down for that person. So I'm just going to back away and allow my blood pressure to stay normal. Allow my heart rate to stay normal. And I'm going to walk in love. And that way you arrive to your destination. You know what I mean? Better to be a few minutes late than never show up at all. Right? Amen? Did you learn anything? Now, what I want you to do is pray the Ephesians prayers over yourself. I'm praying them over you, but believe God. Come ready and come believe in God, because these truths are vital. And you, if you're gonna walk in a good level of them, you gotta get after it. Amen. All right, God bless you guys.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.